Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Miriam.
Yesterday was a special occasion for you.
Yeah.
With inauguration of ceramics too.
Yes, yes.
So how do you feel about it?
It's my contribution to Auroville, no? Because I, as doing this work, you feel very isolated and you also question what you're doing. And when you're able to share it with the big family, the community, you just it feels fulfilling. And for me, it's also like something, an offering for the mother, no?
Mm-hmm. So how was the inauguration yesterday? Sorry, I missed it, but it happens in London.
No problem.
Usually there are more than one event in a day.
Yeah, yeah. No, many people came. At least 70 people, I think, showed up. It was quite a number. And
despite the general meeting.
But it looked like Wednesday was the best day because this whole week, so many events are happening, no?
So all your friends and everybody were there.
Tell
me something, because you used to teach in Dippenham School, right?
Yeah.
So what was that transformation from a teacher of biology and some science to an artist, so to speak?
I think I've always been a person who wanted to create, and just been pushed into academics. It's just part of the journey. So I've studied medicine. I'm a medical doctor, actually.
You're a medical doctor?
Doctor from India, yes. I was practicing for some medicine, and then I went to America. I had studied engineering. I did degrees there for 10 years. And then I came to Auroville, and since school seemed to be needing people, just jumped in to be a school teacher. So I've been through 4 or 5 schools. I basically like freedom. So I was a freelance teacher going here, there, teaching at several schools at the same time. So, but I picked up my pottery in America. It was like a passion. It was a hobby, but it was very strong. And I was just doing it for a couple of years. And at a certain point, when I had an exhibition and a group show, and when my pieces sold out, all the pieces were picked up.
That first exhibition was in New Delhi, yeah?
No.
My first exhibition
was in Auroville. My solo was in Auroville.
Oh, yeah, in Pitanga, yeah. I remember that one. Yeah. But then you also went in Delhi with
Delhi
other
was,
artists,
yes,
and the rest of them?
That was in 2012 also. Yeah. That year I did 2 shows, yeah. Mm.
But this one is this one is your second solo exhibition.
Yeah.
That's what ceramics do.
Yes.
But somehow you always stick with the form of nature, with something which derives from...
Yeah.
The anatomy or the form which flowers or shells or...
Yeah, well, I don't think
but
about
now
what
you,
I mean.
You express yourself even further. You start even with the portraits, huh?
Human
face, which is, so
human
to speak.
Human face? There's no human face, was it?
I've seen two.
Oh, really? Oh, yes, yes. But they are the Amazon, the people there. I'm very connected to the indigenous. I don't know. I feel it in my belly, basically.
Yeah.
Connected to Australia. And these two works, these masks, it was something of the Amazon which comes, which came.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I don't know what I'm doing when I go for a day, no? And I just pick up energies which is coming in and I don't think about it.
No, but it's a journey when you start with... Because you really start with the sea, so to speak, yeah?
Yes, yes.
It's like a whole evolution from sea, from...
Yeah, yeah, the sea is...
one cell... creature to human being.
That's a nice way of putting it. Yeah, but I just love life, basically. Like that, I feel I respond to life. And I'm now also... I've connected strongly to landscapes and... landscapes, particularly Australia, keeps coming in my mind all the time. And there are many pieces this time which is connecting Australia and also New Mexico, the southwest of America, with the desert landscape and all that. So they're all very strong. I feel it in my belly.
So where the birds are coming from? Because I saw two things in
which one?
Birds. I think one is gold and one is silver.
Ah, the birds. The birds were commissioned.
Commissioned?
Commissioned. Somebody wanted a phoenix. So I made a few phoenixes.
Like a kind of phoenix, yeah.
And the person, when he saw them hanging here, he had picked one. Now he wanted both for himself.
Yeah, So this exhibition is a selling exhibition?
Yes, yes. It
all
is a selling.
All the pieces are for sale.
They're all pieces are for sale.
Yeah. Tell me something, Sid. I remember your first solo exhibition was like really fragile, like a shell.
Yeah.
Of a sea urchin or something like that.
Yeah.
And I know, as far as I know, you work with the clay, right?
Yeah.
So how you do that? Because it's really like a thin layer of paper or something, like really a sea urchin shell.
Yeah.
The first one, I was like, how you even...
Yes. I think it's because of the technique I learned. My teacher is Native American. His name is Felipe Ortega, and he makes traditional Pueblo pottery. He's a Jicarilla Apache medicine man, and he makes in that style of pottery. Women used to do it, and it's for cooking only. And he's my guru basically. And you work only with a hand on molds, working with coils. But somewhere I found that technique too slow for me. I work very fast, and so I began to use molds, and I use fabric lining the mold, and I make pieces, and I don't use coils of clay, but I use a kind of a stretching the clay as thin as possible. It's just regular clay which everybody uses. To make thin stuff, people use something called paper clay, which has fiber in it, but that is too cumbersome and I'm impatient, so I just use regular clay.
And it doesn't break when you
it breaks
when you fire it.
It breaks
when you
before itself it's breaking. But somewhere I also accept that the clay is making statements back to me by breaking or saying it's not going to be the way I've made it and wants its own form. So I embrace that kind of accidents I don't even call it accidents. I say it's the intention of the piece, no? And I work with that. So if the shape has changed because something part of it breaks, I sand it down and I find something else. And something new comes out of that process, so it's actually very beautiful.
It's all the process, yeah.
Yeah, and also in the firing, also because the clay is so thin, in the high heat it is actually warping. So in it, something which is regular and nice and hemispherical in shape suddenly becomes contorted, and very organic, which I don't plan ahead.
What about those things that it looks like are sea rocks?
Yeah,
with. Some kind of shells, you know, those snails.
Ah,
it looks like what are
corals? No, like that.
Those are not made from clay.
They are made from clay.
They're made from clay.
Yeah, everything is made from clay. Yes, not the white powder, which I put it on.
That's no, I'm not talking about
the big rock-like things. Yeah, that's made from clay. That came after Korea. I spent 4 months in Korea. And in Korea, there was a particular island I wanted to visit, but I could not. And I was just, I was imagining it is a volcanic island called Jeju-do. And it has all these underground lava tunnels and all these things. So I was really imagining, when you cannot visit a place, you begin to imagine it and do it, no? So those corals came from that. So it's clay coated with several white and off-white glazes, yeah. Which is exciting.
No, and I also see that you are really changing. It's like if I think of you, when I remember you, I saw you first time when you were a teacher, and it's like you're really going through the transformation of yourself, no?
Maybe I am, I don't know, you know, I hope we all will do, no, in Auroville, cannot be static. But sometimes I actually feel like hollow, and it's just the wind is blowing through, you know, something like that. That was the image I was getting this last week, like that.
That's a problem.
No, that's a problem.
Yes, you feel a problem with that.
No, I'm not a problem. I'm very happy with that. But I like yesterday I was in the show, or as putting it, at a certain point I was really frightened. Not frightened, but there was a thing which like I could not have made this. It's impossible. Like the mind would not accept. It's funny. It's that I don't take responsibility for having created those pieces. Actually, it's overwhelming even for me.
No, but as far as I know, also the creating process, at some point, the artist becomes a tool of the divine.
Yeah.
So you have maybe an idea, but when you start doing it, it's that the piece itself is growing its own form because you just become a tool. of the higher power or the divine or whatever we call it. Yeah.
Well, I would like to get there, but the works sometimes scare me, or I cannot take it, because there's so much in them that I cannot bear it like that sometimes. It's weird, but it's okay.
But with the production you got, I got a feeling that you spent basically probably most of your days there.
No, I don't call it even production, because it's for me it sounds very like some energy consumes, takes over me, and then I just make, I cannot stop. And when I start a piece, I finish it on that day. I'm very impatient. I don't have the patience to cover it with polythene and work on it the next day. So every piece
you want to finish at the time.
The piece is done on the same day. Every piece has just a few hours of life of being created, no? Yeah. Like that. And that consumes a lot of energy. But the thing is, if you're sitting in clay, I think it's very easy to just create and create and create.
They call it something to be in touch with the earth. Yeah. It's also that material, physical feeling of working with the clay, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's physically also, it's a very physical job, the pottery. Not just the creating of it.
You connect it with the earth, yeah?
Yeah. When there are times when I have a moment to contemplate and think about it, I remember what my teacher used to, for them, the Native Americans, clay is like Mother Earth. They really see it as Mother Earth, and they talk about it like that. They give it life like that, no?
Yeah. But it's also clay got its own healing process, properties, yeah? It's taking all the poison out of the body.
Yeah. At a certain point in my time in Oroville, I needed to go to all this... the healers in Oroville, no? Because I was suffering, being just a teacher. It was a part of me just suffering.
That's a good one. You were suffering as me.
And then one of the homeopaths gave me a remedy of clay, which I did not know. I was just telling all my stories and stuff. And later he told me he had given me clay. And there was a switch soon after that it helped me. And so clay is healing.
Other glimpses from yesterday exhibition, like pick up from the, you know, like a response from
no the, thing was, I had Paula was doing the flowers for me. That we were a team of four of us working and putting it together. Yeah. Geeta, Paula, myself, and Janaka, mm-hmm. Who holds the gallery there, no? And Paula was bringing the flowers, and we were thinking about it. We wanted white flowers, we wanted white orchids, baby's breath. Some of them have meaning, you know, very strong meaning. And I wanted a lot of Oroville flowers also. And he said lotus, because there were some blue pieces which she felt called for pink. And so it was just beautiful. With the flowers, the landscape of the pieces come out more. There was one piece which actually for me looks like a waterhole in Australia. There's like a tree with these red berries in this blue piece. It's a blue piece with a central brown area. Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful, and it looks like a little oasis, like a big bowl.
So Paula upgraded you the flowers. She's amazing.
She's intuitive, no?
Yeah.
And then there were these bowls floating with a white lotus, and for me it was such a blessing to find the white lotus in the market, because you get pink.
Usually the pink, yeah.
Yeah, and my father was buying me flowers from Pondi, and he found 6-7 white lotuses yesterday.
Especially for you.
Yeah, it's a... And there's one arrangement where she's done right by the door. Mm-hmm. There's a particular flower which mother calls the sentry. It's a beautiful, white, delicate flower. It's in a piece. And so it's at the doorstep. Mm. So there are all these double meanings going on. I haven't had a chance to just spend time alone. And
so all of that is a combination of your work and her work? And
my work, our work too. Yeah, definitely. And actually, and the work itself, no? The work itself is its own being. No, it's so that itself also by itself.
Definitely, yeah. Something we should miss.
Yeah.
But for those who missed it yesterday, until when the exhibition will be going on?
It's until Monday the 20th. Mm-hmm. So it's still there for another 10 days. Yeah.
And Citadin the Art is open in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'll be there 2:30 to 5:30 afternoon every day. It's my time for rest. Maybe I do some knitting or something more quiet. Sitting there. But all the pieces are done in Oroville, so even after coming from Korea, I didn't put any of those pieces there. But there are pieces which have been made after my time in Korea.
And all of them are for sale, yeah.
All of them is for sale. And I just wanted to add, what Korea had taught me was this sense of freedom to actually freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah, because they have gone so far ahead in ceramics.
In that field.
In that particular field. They're so rich and they're so quiet about it. You don't hear about them. We hear about Japanese pottery or Chinese pottery. Mm. Korean pottery is kind of like almost like a secret hidden world. And they've gone into what is even what we would call postmodern, no, postmodern ceramics. They've just crossed like that. So when I was there, that's something I picked up where this I'm still learning baby steps of this complete abandon and just letting yourself into clay, but with no boundaries, no thoughts, no thinking of this is impossible like that, and just accepting whatever comes. They accept every shape, every form, every defect.
That's very interesting.
Very interesting. I'm going back actually. 2 days after the show is closed.
So in the end of October you're going back?
Yeah, just on the 23rd. I go back to Korea, but to finish up my work there, because we have a group show at the museum where all the artists in residence are, and all my works are sitting there basically. Big works, bigger works, because they have big facilities, taller works.
So you started with
sculpturing. these rocks of Jeju, they're all waiting there. So I'm looking forward to it and trying to feel useful to Oroville. I want to be useful. That's something. How to be useful to the world, or how to be useful to Oroville like that, no? The challenge after stopping being a teacher. You have to be feeling useful.
Useful or useful?
Useful.
Both.
Yeah. But it's okay.
Yeah. And I hope you will bring some pictures back from Korea.
Yes, I will, of course. Yes.
Thank you all for coming today.
Yeah. Have a nice day. Thank you.